Welcome to Hyperlocal, the podcast inspiring economic developers, job creators, and community champions with local solutions and global perspectives. I'm your host, Mason Ainsworth. Thank you for taking the time to join us today, and let's get into it. Jens Michel Shaw is championing global expansion for Ottawa's thriving tech ecosystem. As Vice President Global Expansion at Invest Ottawa, he provides strategic leadership to attract foreign direct investment, drive business retention and expansion, boost international trade, and draw top talent to Canada's G7 capital, the highest concentration of tech talent in North America. From his roots in Germany to his time as a Canadian diplomat in New York City in the United States and in New Delhi, India, he has fostered partnerships across Canada and beyond. He is passionate about problem solving, other cultures, and making a difference at the local level. In this episode, we discuss attracting foreign direct investment and talent into your community, the importance of cultural curiosity, being reliable, and having a service mindset, Ottawa and Gatineau's defense sector strategy and its new defense innovation hub, Canadian diplomatic relations, the Consider Canada City Alliance, the Executive Committee Canada, and the Ottawa Board of Trade, advice for new economic developers, and the EDCO board elections. Now let's get into it. Jens, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today on Hyperlocal.
Well, thank you, Mason, for having me. I'm really excited, and I'm also really honored to follow to some of the great folks you've already had in your program. So thanks a lot for bringing me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. So anybody named Jens must be a good person to be quite blunt. I have a friend in Germany, and I met him in the Dominican Republic, and his name is Jens as well. And a phenomenal guy. Met him when he got engaged to his wife. And then we've been friends over the years now. He's been to Canada a few times. And it's funny, his best friend is actually named Michael from Germany as well. So we had Jens Michael visiting the one time for a couple of weeks, which was pretty funny. So anyways, I know that's off topic, but I just wanted to say I appreciate you. And I'm always happy to have a German on the podcast and chat with, because they are great folks. And I consider him my German brother across the world. So, but anyways, I'll get back on track and we will hop into things. I always like to start off with kind of an origin story. As a big movie buff myself, I'd like to know where people come from, what takes them on that journey. So I see that your career has taken you all over the world, from Germany to the United Kingdom, India, the United States, and to Canada. You've also served as a diplomat for Canada, supporting international business development, and are now the Vice President of Global Expansion at Invest Ottawa, which, for those who are unaware, is Canada's capital city, which is pretty phenomenal. I'm curious, you know, what's inspired you to pursue such an incredible and adventurous career in economic development? And how has your global experience and your, you know, journey across different countries shaped how you operate in your position today?
Well, but first, Mason, before I get into answering the question, I just want to quickly follow on to your Jens connection. Because the funny thing is, if someone in Germany is named Jens, you can usually date them pretty nicely, because this name was really used only during a you know, sort of certain period. So if you dig deeper, and I will not, you know, get into this now, you can pretty much date your friend and myself pretty well on this. But anyways, was also not you know, was probably pretty creative at that time. But anyways, to get to your question, you know what, it's funny, because really, I believe no one really wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be an economic developer. And frankly, I think this is a good thing, because, you know, most of us, you know, come from many walks of life. And I'm definitely no exception to this. And similar to yourself, I also had a look at your LinkedIn. And, you know, both of us, we started and worked in financial services. Both of us worked as a city councilor. You here, I'm, you know, myself in Germany. So, you know, we have, you know, in an ideal world, you know, experience we can draw from, you know, many different ways. And, you know, for me coming to Canada, this just added to it. I mean, it's, you know, funny story. I remember really well a career day in high school in Germany back in the day. where you could sort of scout out different occupations. And one of those I was always interested in was actually diplomat. But in Germany, you need to be fluent in English and French, and French was my issue, so I dropped it in high school. And so I said, no, not gonna happen. So never gonna be a diplomat. Czech. Fast forward a few years later, I moved to France, not to France. I moved to Quebec, to Canada, and married to a Francophone. Never thought I would actually really need French. And then forward a few years later, all of a sudden, I'm being a Canadian diplomat, sitting in New Delhi, India. Sometimes to be honest, I mean, you have to pinch me, or I need to pinch myself, of how all these things came together. But clearly, I mean, there is and there was no linear path forward, and one can really not make this up, I think. In my case, I think what happened was that, when coming to Canada, I really needed to reinvent myself, because whatever I did in financial services in Germany wasn't really accepted, I would say. I was a credit risk manager. We audited companies, assessed their collateral, and subsequently ended up giving them loans. But this type of work and that type of credentials I had weren't asked for. So I again fast forward, went to Queen's. Got in touch, well, Queen's actually to pursue a master in public administration. At that point, the school was really well connected to the Ontario government. I learned about a couple of opportunities. One was actually to work as a diplomat for the Ontario government, around the world. That didn't happen right away. Instead, I came to India, through a Canadian not-for-profit, which was a really exciting career journey, supporting immigrants or selected immigrants to Canada pre-arrival. So basically providing pre-arrival services while still in their home countries, to with the aim to integrate them into the Canadian labor market. So you think about licensing of engineers and these type of things. So we proctor exams remotely in India and all those things. And then again, as coincidence has it, I got an opportunity to actually join the Ontario government while in India for the Ontario government office in India. And yeah, that's how I basically started on that journey as an economic developer. And to me, I love to learn. I've always been culturally curious, if you will, and I'm naturally open-minded, which really helps. So I've lived and worked, as you said, in many cultural different places. I can adapt to my audience, always look for thoughtful engagement. And I also became a good listener. So I put my audience into a cultural context and translate to myself what certain reactions mean and how I can deal with them. So I use these skills, and my curiosity really every day, including today at Invest Ottawa, when receiving international visitors, or when traveling abroad, or work with international companies. So it's a bit of a lengthy answer, I guess, to your question, but I hope that this all makes sense.
Oh, that's incredible. I think it's clear you've had an extensive background, and I see you looked through my LinkedIn. So, but yeah, we'll chat some other time about city councilor experience because that's a whole episode in itself.
Indeed.
But I like that culturally curious. I think that's so important, and I'm glad as well that you know that the best women are French. My wife, I don't know if she listens to this, to be honest, but if she does, I love you, and you're my Francophone wife, and it's great. So French is her first language, and I'm hoping I've got a 1-year-old that he will learn French because it's something that I had an unfortunate experience similar to yourself in school, where I didn't have a great time. So I said, yeah, that's not for me. And when I look back, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have stuck with it. So there's still hope for us down the road. I'm sure that we can work on our language skills for sure. But speaking of LinkedIn, I actually was searching through yours and found a lot of interesting things. It was, to be quite blunt, it was hard to pick something to bring up. But you had this really interesting post in some news, which was in regards to the Ottawa Gatineau defense sector strategy and the new Defense Innovation Hub. I was curious if you could tell us a bit more about this exciting news, what it's going to do potentially for Ottawa, for Canada's capital region, and the country as a whole.
No, great, great question. And And yeah, I completely agree on the languages, by the way. I mean, us too, we try, with our daughter to have her learn as many languages as possible. Of course, my wife being Francophone, she speaks French. English is her favorite language, although none of us is a native English speaker. And I struggle a bit with her in German, but yeah, it's a path. So good luck, Mason, with that and your daughter. The Defense Innovation Hub, huge, huge project. So what really drives me, I mean, when I put it into the big picture is to create lasting impact. That's really what motivates me. I think this is an opportunity to exactly do this. And if I may just divert for a second, the local impact, lasting local impact, is actually also something that brought me from the provincial government to the municipal level. Because when you sort of work thousands of kilometers away from where the action happens at the end, you kind of miss out on seeing the fruit to some degree of some of your labor, or at least the way you partially influenced that. And so I wanted to see that more on the ground, and that's why I was so glad that I could join the Invest Ottawa to see some of the sort of local impact, really. And that's what really drives me. So on this project in particular, good pick. Yeah, I mean, how to start? I mean, through really countless consultations, if you will, with local partners, including the city, post-secondary institutions, BIAs, companies, and many more, we pulled together this Defense Innovation Hub concept, which was presented at City Hall, as you mentioned, as you saw on LinkedIn, to a large audience, and co-presented and co-sponsored by the mayor. We had former chief of the defense staff Rick Hillier there, and tons of great partners from companies, and of course the military, and so on and so forth. So this is a great initiative. And when you think about why Ottawa and what it brings to Ottawa, to us, I mean, it was pretty clear. I mean, we have roughly 330, defense or dual use companies in Ottawa. We have the highest concentration of NATO Diana test sites in Canada, actually. Out of the 13, we have five here in Ottawa, one of which is actually operated and run by ourselves through Arrayx.o. We have the whole NRC capabilities with the 65 labs, connections to users and regulators, DND, all the relevant agencies. The Navy, of all places and of all organizations, has an innovation team co-located with us with Invest Ottawa at our innovation center at Bayview Yards. We are, I believe, the natural place to support innovation, to serve our nation, our armed forces, and our allies. And as the budget has earmarked, significant spending in this area. And obviously, we're not the only region and community in Canada to sort of build around our defense capabilities. But if you just look at what's in the hopper, I mean, defense industrial strategy will be funded with 6.6 billion over 5 years. The Defense Security Business Mobilization Program through BDC, 1 billion for 25-26. Dual-use technology commercialization through ISED, Quantum for defense applications through ISED, NRC, and many others. Just to give you an idea. Obviously, all of this will need to be passed by Parliament. So this is, of course, the big question mark sort of looming over us. But so therefore, I think it's too early really to say where this will lead to. But I'm really confident to say that it will lead to a significant economic activity throughout, or through the funding that will most likely land with some of the agencies to support defense and dual use companies that will leverage, also our R&D capabilities here in Ottawa, and our access to government to establish here, and the support that will be provided through some of the government vehicles that I mentioned earlier. So I think this is, again, not only and exclusively for Ottawa, but this is for the nation, a great nation building opportunity, I think, that will most likely will leave large economic impacts for every region that gets involved in this. And again, there will be regions that will be focusing on manufacturing capabilities. Our focus, really, because of who we are and what we do best, is really around the innovation piece. And so we named this initiative also Defense Innovation Hub, and I certainly invite you to visit our website, investottawa/defenseinnovationhub, to learn more about our strategy and learn more about our goals as well.
Awesome. I think that's so exciting, not only for yourself, but for the country as a whole, especially with everything going on in the world right now, and investing in Canadian jobs and Canadian technology, I think is so important, especially when we look at our defense across the world. And I won't get into that too much because that also could be its own episode. But really fascinating stuff, and thank you so much for sharing that with us. I will make sure to link all of that in the show notes and the link to the website and some of the other information you mentioned as well. So I know that you've been involved with quite a few things. I know we highlighted a little bit earlier that you have been a diplomat. I know for myself, that's an area I think is super interesting. Similar to yourself, when you're in school at Career Day and things like that, I had a similar experience when I was in a university doing my undergrad. And I had a professor, and he had been a diplomat in a few different places, and I just thought that that was the coolest thing ever. He told me all these like really interesting, unique stories, which I will not mention today because some of them are pretty interesting. But definitely over a drink sometime, well, I will share some of those stories with you because I'm sure you have some as well. So I won't ask you about any intense, things. But what I will say is that you have been a Canadian diplomat, and I believe the title with that as well as a counselor and senior economic development officer in New York City in the United States, as well as during your time in New Delhi in India. And I'm curious, for our listeners who have never met a diplomat or talked to anybody about the subject, can you explain what that actually is? Tell us a bit about the job, how it works, and then maybe after you've explained kind of what it is and how one, becomes a diplomat, what are the most important things or things that you've learned during your time when you were a diplomat that you think are, interesting to our listeners or to what you're doing in your work today?
Great, great question, and it's where to start. I think first of all, being a diplomat often sounds pretty glamorous. People think about exotic places and cocktail parties and dresses and tuxedos and all these kind of things. No, this is not really what it is. I
So
mean.
there was no cocktails. Just
Yeah, I
kidding.
mean, look, I don't want to, admittedly, there are some, for sure, there are, receptions and, balls and these type of things, but frankly, I mean, the work really is very, very hands-on, and so the exciting thing about this, and this is what I think everyone working as a diplomat and working as the face of an organization abroad, even as a as an economic developer now going abroad on a business mission to engage with companies, you need to be aware that you're in many ways often the first face your counterpart sees, the first face of Canada or the first face of Ontario, in my case, the first face of Ottawa. And so, this is really important, and with that comes a lot of responsibility as well, because you set the tone, and you provide the first impressions. First impressions are really important, and so the way you sort of, and I just simply say, like, the way you behave and the way you sort of show yourself in that setting really, really matters, because people do watch what you're doing, for sure. So as I mean, my focus was really on commercial diplomacy. Leading the Trade Investment Office network in India and in the US on the East Coast. As such, you're really at the front end of the funnel when it comes to business development in the areas of trade investment. As I said, it's a very hands-on job. Like, you need to increase the profile and the visibility of the jurisdiction you represent, in my case, Ontario, through events, speaking engagements, trade shows. But you also need to, again, particularly as a subnational jurisdiction, you need to advocate for Ontario's position within Canada, and at times, a Canadian position and an Ontario position to a certain issue or even a commercial issue may be different. And that is something that, within the diplomatic network abroad, then in which you operate, you need to advocate for that too. So you need to have, this in mind. Again, you also do, despite, or next to all those, profiling events, speaking engagement, you also do a lot of hands-on BD in company one-on-ones, where you explore opportunities for investment, where you look for buyer-seller relationships and export promotion, and sometimes, those activities are challenged or challenging because of the environment you operate in, because of logistics. Sometimes, you're in a different country and you probably don't speak the local language, as it was often for me the case in India. Obviously, I don't speak Hindi, or any of the other, I believe, 28 official languages that are spoken throughout the country. So sometimes you really need to take a step back and take a deep breath and just, roll with the flow, and appreciate the environment in which you're in, and sort of localize your approach. And again, I think this is where cultural curiosity comes in again, and sort of how to deal with certain situations. I mean, in any case, all of this, whether it was in India or whether it was in the US, it was a huge learning and likely the best experience, I've had. I mean, just to give you probably one story, a short one, which was long in real life, but things we had to deal with, or we worked on, was, for example, Premier Wynn's first business mission to India in 2016 in February. The planning for this thing started in May 2015, so long in advance. It was probably the best professional experience I've ever had in my life, because we need to think about the premier, her program, or her spouse's program. There were five ministers traveling with her. There were a number of Ontario mayors. Last minute, we got the premier of PEI added to the travel group, and you needed to develop a program for him. 250 people was the size of the delegation. Again, that included business delegates, official delegates, politicians, and they all needed to be moved around. So we, chartered a plane and, we're traveling through five different cities in India. Again, lots of work, but it's so rewarding, and particularly when you see what the outputs of these business delegations were. Again, great experience. I can only recommend to everyone who is interested in that line of work. So what do you learn? What do you take away? I think one piece that I took away, and that helps me today too, is had to do with my time in New York, because I was there during Trump 1.0. So very similar, yet slightly softer version of what we're going through right now. And what I learned is, don't let emotion guide you. Of course, emotionally you respond to certain challenges in a certain way. Emotion is not a good advisor when it comes to how you should be doing your job. So think about, different things that really matter. Think about the things that you can control and do those well. Don't waste time on things that you can't, because it's not really helpful. I think the other thing that was always important to me is, be transparent when you deal with your clients. There are still a lot of colleagues from that approach economic development as a competitive sport. To me, it's not, because I think, I see and I value the clients I deal with, and I understand that they're doing their homework. They're very intelligent. They're taking huge business decisions. By me holding information back from them on other jurisdictions, on other ecosystems, I only lose credibility myself, and I'm not ready to do this. So therefore, again, I'm very open when I speak to clients, and I would recommend colleagues to do the same thing, because again, it just lifts you up. It puts you above others, and you know what? Be confident in your ecosystem, and then you will get the positive outcomes. But again, transparency is important. And remove emotion from your decision making piece. Those are a couple of things. There's way more, as you said, Mason. I could probably talk hours about this experience in India and the US, but I guess I'll leave it at that for now.
Well, that's super insightful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, definitely the example with the 250 folks, that sounds like a logistics nightmare. So I'm sure you learned a lot in the moment with that as well. And I really like what you said about don't let emotion guide you. I think that's something so important, especially in trivial times, whether it's internationally or let's say the federal or provincial government, changing things that have an impact on like a local economic development office. Obviously, in those moments when your life or your profession get turned upside down with something going on and you have to do things differently, or funding gets cut and stuff like that, it's obviously upsetting, and folks don't like going through that. But if you take the time to take a step back, think about it logically, and also, as you mentioned, worry about the things that you actually have an impact on, and don't get caught up in the stuff that you have no control over, because there's no point of spending your time and effort being upset about something that you can't control. You just got to kind of go with the flow, as you mentioned a bit earlier. So I know we've talked a lot about international things, but I think right now we're hearing a huge chat about foreign direct investment and diversifying Canada's markets and such. I'm curious, with your current role and your huge amount of international experience that we've heard about, for communities that are listening, let's say within Ontario, for example, whether they're big or small, what are three things for them to focus on? In regards to giving them the best chance to secure some of that potential foreign direct investment to their community or to their region for some of those smaller areas.
Yeah, again, good question. So you said it, focus, and I would just repeat it. Focus, focus, and focus. Don't be everything to everyone. Don't even try to be everything to everyone, but rather have a clear focus on one or a few particular areas in which you really have a competitive advantage over others, and that you can also then communicate well, because you want to stand out in a few things, and those are the things you then want to focus on. Build your value propositions around this focus area or those few focus areas, and support it well. Resource it, promote it, shop it around, and really focus on these few things. And I you can probably give you an example of how we look at this from an Ottawa perspective. I mean, as all of you, I mean, Mason, you anyways, and of course most likely also the folks that are listening to this know, I mean, Ottawa is not traditionally a manufacturing hub, and therefore we are not promoting this really to potential clients. What we are really good at is very high R&D intensive jobs that need to be get done in a few key areas like telecommunications, semiconductor, defense, software and AI. So those are really things that that we want to focus on, and that we do focus on, and where we really leverage our network, and where we do have also assets in the city and in the region that are really unique. And I mentioned the NRC before, the 65 research labs, the ability to access a nationwide university network through the NRC and its 4,000 engineers right here in Ottawa. So this is what folks need to sort of focus on within their own communities. I think, again, the more focused you are, the better outcomes you will see, right? And then let success stories speak on your behalf. I think there is nothing more powerful than having sort of companies tell your story. We do this too, it resonates really, really well. Word by mouth obviously is working great for us too. Making sure you have a good multiplier network of partners that can help tell your story. And then I'd say, finally, have a service mindset. Follow timelines, provide good quality advice. and be rigorous, in your follow-up, and be a reliable, be a reliable partner. I think, again, sum it up, like the way I often, talk to our team about this is, like, let's be a problem solver for the company. And that's often how we start conversations with our clients. What's keeping you awake at night? How can we help? Those would be sort of my my piece of advice. And in all of this, try to be authentic, and be yourself.
Thank you. I think that is terrific advice. And being a problem solver, I think is so important, whether it's economic development or other areas, figuring out what the issues are and the pain points and coming to the table with some solutions, sorry. And the service mindset, I think that is so key, but I think is sadly missing in a lot of areas. And I think of even when I go out to the service sector specifically, whether it's going out for dinner and such, and it's very easy to see the difference between somebody who has that mindset and somebody who, they're just there to do their quote unquote job at the very bare minimum. So I think that mindset goes a huge way, and it's it doesn't matter if you're leading a multi-million-dollar company or if you're serving somebody their coffee. The difference is very clear for somebody who actually wants to serve, as opposed to somebody who's just doing it for a paycheck. And speaking of paychecks, I know that you are also doing some stuff outside of that, which is giving back and volunteering. I know you're currently serving as a member of the executive committee and as treasurer for the Consider Canada City Alliance, as well as you're a member of the key peer group with the Executive Committee Canada, the TEC. And also a committee member of the Ottawa Board of Trade. I'm curious, first of all, can you tell us how do you have time to do this with everything else you're doing? And then secondly, can you tell us a little bit about these different groups and what you're up to there?
Sure. Look, to be honest, I wish I would have time to do to do even more. I mean, there is a lot of great causes, and some of the things we're looking at, I mean, they're probably also not listed on LinkedIn. But again, I mean, the day has 24 hours and the week has 7 days, so there is unfortunate limits to what you can do. But I think it's important to look beyond, right, your day-to-days. I mean, the CCA is, of course, it's very it's very much aligned with my day-to-day work, because the CCCA, the Consider Canada City Alliance, is a network of 14, soon to be 15, cities and city regions in Canada that all are united through their economic development agencies and investment promotion agencies in the aim of attracting investment into Canada and sort of provide economic activity and economic gains for the city and city regions that they represent. So, this includes, sort of basically the 14, soon to be 15 largest city regions in Canada, really, from Vancouver in the west to Halifax in the east, and every largest city you would imagine in between. And what we do is a little bit of almost collaborative competition, if you will. In a very good way, as we try to market Canada to the world from a municipal lens. And I think putting the municipal lens into investment attraction in particular is very important, because at the end of the day, investment lands in cities. Of course, it does land in a province, it does land in Canada, but most importantly, the companies will need to integrate and involve with the municipal ecosystem. And I think this is where really the buck stops, and the buck stops with agencies like ours and so many others across the province. And so, sort of, raising this awareness, raising the awareness of municipal agencies as part of value chain and service continuum within investment attraction, and on top of federal partners like Invest in Canada and the Trade Commissioner Service, or provincial partners, in our case, Invest Ontario. We need to have a voice, and the CCCA provides that voice. We engage with federal partners and provincial partners to some degree on a regular basis. We do some policy advocacy as well. And it's a very rewarding time to spend with my peers at the CC. The tech group, actually, the TEC Key Group, this is actually more it's a professional development tool, if you will. It's a peer group of VPs from private, public, and non-for-profit sector here in Ottawa. There are a number of these groups in Ottawa, but also across the entire country, as well as the US and parts of Europe. So it's an international group. In Canada, it's known as TEC. In the US, it's called as VISTA. We sort of exchange experience, best practice. We learn about different leadership skills, style, sales, marketing, things like emotional intelligence. It's a little bit like a trusted group of peer advisors, if you will, where you can sort of talk about opportunities and challenges that you face, and how some of your peers would sort of deal with them. It's a sounding board for me, really, and for my colleagues. It's an awesome group. Look for a local chapter within your geography. I can only recommend that. It's a brilliant way to help yourself become a better leader, and therefore, hopefully provide better leadership to your teams, because at the end of the day, that's what we all want to do. The other piece you mentioned was with OBOT's ambassador program. OBOT is the Ottawa Board of Trade, and they're one of our economic development partners at the municipal level. So is Ottawa Tourism, and so are the BIAs. But the Ottawa Board of Trade launched a really cool program a while ago, and I was honored and lucky to be involved in that, which was called the Ottawa Ambassadors Program, where we really look for folks within civil society to sort of be our multipliers in promoting Ottawa, because every person in the city, from business partners, business leaders, community leaders, but every citizen really has a broad network of folks in the city, outside of the city, in the country, outside the country, where everybody can do a little bit to advance Ottawa's awareness on a national and global scale as a destination to do, to travel to live, to work, but also to invest in. And so, we've launched this program a while ago. We have signed on a number of ambassadors. We equip them with tools, and everybody is sort of doing their little piece to make Ottawa a better and more known place.
Very interesting. I think that's phenomenal. And thank you so much for touching on those three different organizations and a little bit bonus more, which is always great. I think what you said about the municipal lens is so important. And I know I was speaking with someone from Invest Ontario the other day, and they said, that's a key component. Is the reality is they're coming to Canada, they're coming to Ontario, but they're ending up in a local community. So having that perspective and having that information of the municipal ecosystem, I think is extremely valuable. And then just on a personal basis, that idea of developing, someone's emotional intelligence, I think is so crucial. And I'm sure, you and I have a lot of experience in that area through our time as counselors in the past. But that's definitely something when you're dealing with people every day and dealing with all sorts of things from, a cat peeing on someone's lawn was probably one of the strangest complaints I got. But you learn how to pick up on some of these things, or when someone's in distress, or a company's not happy, or maybe they're saying one thing but they're really meaning another, and you can pick up on a bit of that. I think those skills are invaluable when it comes to the business world, and especially when you're doing some of these bigger deals to try to attract some investment into your community. Speaking of communities, I know there's probably a lot of folks listening who might be new to economic development or who might be looking to enter the field in the future, whether that's through a municipality or some sort of an agency. I'm curious, what your perspective would be on their, the top three steps for them to enter the field of economic development and potentially secure themselves a position in the future.
Yeah, no, great question. I mean, as I said earlier, I mean, you don't wake up in the morning and want to be an economic developer because, I mean, now more and more, but certainly in the past, I mean, there were very few sort of educational or typical educational pathways to pursue in order to sort of end up with this career. So I think there are a few things for sure. I mean, one is be proactive. I mean, you'll find as a career starter who might be interested in that field, you find an awful lot of people working in that field across the country. Folks like yourself, folks like myself, folks like all our peers. I, for my part, and I'm sure that goes for most others too, I'm always happy to speak to anybody wanting to sort of explore this as a career pathway, because I know how important it is to sort of be listened to, but also receive some advice. And so and I benefited from this in the past myself in different circumstances. So I think go out there, put yourself in front of folks that work within the field, as such, then learn more about what this job really means and how you can potentially contribute, how you can see yourself in this. Again, as I said earlier, be curious and then be ready to roll up the sleeves in a work environment that really requires you to be very flexible, where you need to be quick on your feet, and where you need to be really smart in dealing with people, right? And so hard work. I always believe in this. Look, I mean, I'm 51 and they're probably a little on the older side these days, but I believe in hard work. I believe in curiosity. I believe in some of the values that sort of I grew up with, and they're still true, I think, to that day. And I mean, if you exhibit those, particularly if you probably end up with an ACDEF agency as an internship, more often than not, have we provided those folks with permanent positions, when they interned with us or when they volunteered with us or did things of that kind of thing. To be honest, I mean, and I, again, I think I speak for many folks, like myself. To me, I'm also at a stage where I simply love my work. I love doing what I'm doing, but I also do love getting young people into this career and see them advance in that career. And this is very rewarding. So again, this goes through sort of one-on-one mentorship and relationships and advice. Again, I can only recommend to everyone, seek out those conversations, seek out those people that you want to talk to. And then again, when you look at the career opportunities across the country, I mean, look at things like LinkedIn or all those different websites. I mean, as long as you're flexible, to some degree, also geographically, there is so many opportunities to work for so many great teams in Ontario, in Canada. Go for it and be persistent and demonstrate what you can do. See conversations and with folks that have done the job. Put yourself in front of them, and I think that is how you sort of build your brand, because at the end of the day, economic development has a lot to do with our networks, with our credibility, and you need to start building both quickly and ideally before you actually land job, but if not after. So I think this is probably my two cents.
Excellent advice, for sure. And you touched on a lot of good things there. I think one of the big ones, at the beginning, you said, be proactive. And then that kind of ties into your last one as well about networking and building that credibility. And I think, you know, whether it's economic development or any other industry, it's, hey, you know, if you know you want to go down this road, make sure that you're going to have the tools you need in order to keep going and being flexible on it and being able to, you know, continue to be curious. I think that's one of the most important things in any industry. And I think if you're not curious and you're not passionate about the work that you're doing, then you should probably get into another line of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the people who are going to excel in it, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, making a shoe, or if you're, you know, serving somebody food,
Yeah.
or if you're, you know, building some sort of tech. If you're not passionate and curious, you know, you can only go so far. It's the people who tie those things together with that hard work that are gonna really make a difference in their area.
Yeah, I honestly I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's exactly the very reason why I'm no longer in financial services. I think I was really good at what I was doing, but I was definitely not passionate about it. So and that's really important. And you know, it's great if you find something even a little later perhaps to be passionate about and act deaf and you know, it's definitely something, you know, we are both very passionate about.
Yeah, and it's something that's I find so stimulating and exciting as well, which I think is great because there's so much to be curious about. And you know, similar to yourself from the financial industry, when I was doing mortgages, it was, you know, yeah, this is okay. And my brother-in-law, he does an incredible job and he makes a ton of money doing it and he loves it. So I'm not knocking the mortgage industry, but for me, it just, you know, I didn't find it exciting, and there was no passion of like, you know, get out of bed in the morning and, oh, I'm really excited to do this. But when it comes to this subject, you know, I could talk about it all day. I think it's phenomenal, and what you said as well about, you know, finding the people, speaking to the people in the field, and learning from them, I think is so important, which is one of the reasons for the podcast. But also, you know, for other folks who are interested in that, there's the Economic Development Council of Ontario. They have their conference coming up, I believe, in the first week of February. I highly recommend to get out and check that out because it's an area where I went to my first conference there last year and met a lot of folks from the field, and it was extremely rewarding just hearing, hey, I'm not a weirdo that thinks economic development is amazing. There's actually a lot of us out there, so that was really nice. But also developing that network and learning from folks like yourself, which brings me to another subject, which the Economic Development Council of Ontario currently has their board of directors elections going on right now. And so for anybody who is a member, they can vote. And I see that you're also running for the board this time. I was curious if you know, could share a little bit about that, and if there's any folks who are listening on why they should vote for you. I think you know, not to be overly blunt, but if they've listened this far, I think it's pretty clear why. But feel free if you do want to highlight, the floor is yours.
Well, thanks, Mason. You're too kind. Look, we recently had a candidate call, if you will, and for those of you listening, you can take a listen there as well. It's on the EDCO website. Meet the candidates. You should find a video link there where you can sort of listen to the six peers of mine and myself running for those EDCO board decisions. What I said back then, and I just sort of, you know, repeat it. Honestly, I don't really want to make a pitch. Why? Because I think whoever the members end up choosing, I really believe they will be very well served. I'm really honored and I'm humbled by the great slate of candidates that put their names forward. They're all great folks, and again, I'm really honored to be among this great group of leaders and you know put my name forward for one of those positions. I wish them all well, and you know, I'm confident that EDCO, you know, as I said earlier, will be well served by whoever comes onto the board. However, I mean, look, Mason, you said it. Perhaps I believe, you know, that I do have something to offer. You know, some of which we touched upon, you know, during this call, during this interview, and that may be appealing to some folks, and may resonate with them. And maybe prompt them to vote for me. And you know, one thing I can say, if I should end up on that board, I will give it my all. That's for sure, because this is how things ought to be, and therefore, I'll bring my experience, my background, my passion, everything to this role. But I'm not really into running a campaign or doing a pitch, Mason. So I have to disappoint you in this one. But again, it's ETCO is an important organization within the broader Ontario economic development landscape. It provides so much to its members, in terms of training, professional development, but also as an organization in terms of advocacy towards, some of the decision makers within the province. And again, I think that I do have something to give, and I'm really in a good space at the moment, where I actually want to give, and so that's really what motivated me to run for one of those ETCO seats, and we'll find out in early December where it led to. Again, whoever will be selected, I wish them well, and we shall see in December.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. You're super modest, but that's okay. That is a good trait, even in politics sometimes. I do have one last question for you before we go. We have a tradition. We have a bit of a mystery question that either gets submitted by somebody, whether it's a listener or somebody that I've reached out to or a former guest. So
Oh.
this one's pretty interesting. It's an international one. Surprise, surprise. but it is, what international concept or way of doing things or something you've observed in a different country during your travels, do you think would be really interesting or cool, to have happen in a local community within Ontario? And that could be anything from how they do things to something that they do that maybe, they're not doing here that people haven't thought of.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and when I think about this, always one thing that stuck with me since since I was in India for the 4 years that I worked and lived in India, first with a Canadian not-for-profit and then with the Ontario government. And it was always the way, folks conduct meetings. To be honest, I always find, we live and sort of both grew up, I mean, whether it's Europe or North America, in a very transactionally oriented environment, where you come in, you make your case, you get out. All of this can be done in 25, 30 minutes. In India, this is not the way it works. And to be honest, I really enjoyed this. I really enjoy actually sitting down with someone and, try to get to know the person really a bit more and get to know the company a bit more, or get to know, some of the likes and dislikes. I mean, you open yourself up a little bit more. Of course, you kind of, don't touch certain subjects. You don't talk politics. You don't talk, these type of things. But you give a little bit more from yourself than you do here. And I enjoyed that a lot. I mean, of course, you need to invest more time, but I think, you may also end up with good relationships and good outcomes with time. And I see similar trends now when I go on business missions to other places in East Asia. Very similar, but I really enjoyed this particular piece or this particular approach in India, which is again taking time, also sit over your meeting with a tea or a coffee and talk first before you get into business, build relationships and build relationships also over time by repeat meetings, and be a little less transactional than we tend to be. Of course, I mean, we're all, try to be efficient, and we all, time is money, and all the things we grew up with, they are all valid, and I completely understand. But you know what? Sometimes taking a step back, taking time, and actually taking really time to listen to someone is worth our while, and again, can lead to great outcomes.
Very interesting. I think that is such a thought-provoking answer, and for something I know I'm thinking a lot about now, but I think a lot of other folks who listen to that will take to heart. Going back to something you said earlier, that cultural curiosity. I'm so glad you have that, and that you have taken that approach to be able to come to the table with information like that. I think that quality over quantity is so important when it comes to meetings. I can't count how many meetings I've been in the past for things. And you're right. A majority of them are very, transactional, quick to the point, especially when you're dealing with some of these C-suite folks. But I think, it's interesting to tie it back. And I was speaking with Claire from Toronto, who's also running for the board, and we talked about stakeholder relations, and specifically with hostile stakeholders, and some of the tips around that, and it was very much, be a human being and go in there with like, hey, I actually want to build a relationship with these people before we even talk about some of these things, so that they know, like, hey, yeah, like, life's not perfect. Sometimes there's something going on in your life, and somebody's like, maybe it's not a good day for them to talk because, someone that they love is in the hospital or something along those lines. But if you don't take the time to actually get to know somebody, you're never going to know those factors and be able to, build that long-term relationship, which I think, especially in this context, whether it's, local economic development or foreign direct investment, I think building those concrete relationships are so important over the long term. And when I talk, especially to younger folks, when I sometimes will chat at a university, and I'll tell them, hey, the people who are in your class now, the people who you're interacting with, build good relationships with those people, because you don't know where that person is going to be in 10 years from now. You don't know that that intern who's in your office is, going to be the Minister of Finance one day. Right?
Absolutely.
And so just, treat everybody with respect, and don't look at people just based on their positions, but look at them as people. And it take that little bit of extra time.
100%. Sorry. I mean, look, I'm so excited, that you say that. But you know what the thing is? It's, this should, unfortunately, it's not, but this sort of, respectful treatment of your, peers, partners, classmates, colleagues. I mean, this should be common sense. Unfortunately, more often than not, it's not. And so, yeah, I'm glad you say that. It's so important, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Jens, I know you've got a lot to do, basically leading the country, it sounds like. So I will let you go. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time today to chat and to be on the podcast. I really appreciate it, and wish you all the best on your adventure with the EDCO board.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mason, for this opportunity. I really enjoyed it. I mean, as you can tell. And yeah, I'll look forward to also seeing you in Toronto during the EDCO conference in the coming year. All the very best, and thanks a lot.
That's good.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. When I'm out and about, whether I'm, biking or walking or driving, I love listening to podcasts. So it really is special to me that you took the time to tune into Hyperlocal today and listen to our podcast. I want to make sure we're able to give you the best content possible in the future, get the speakers you want, talk about the topics you want, and really make a difference in your community. We want to focus on those little things. And a big thing to help us do that would be if you could take this opportunity to make sure that you're following the channel. If you want, feel free to turn on the notifications and we can make sure you get notified on the next episode. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for caring about economic development and caring about your community. And keep up the good work. You're not alone out there.